Welcome to Mastering Life's Adventures, an educational podcast about tapping into your true self, the soul, your soul, the substance of your life, to discover what life's ups and downs are really about, and how to have a greater sense of purpose, peace, joy, and fulfillment. I am Dr. Judith Holder, your host, coach, psychologist, fellow seeker who enjoys diving into the connections between spirituality, psychology, wellness, and your everyday life's adventures. All preparing and polishing you like the facets of a magnificent diamond to be your best self. If you're craving more from your life, you are in the right place. Come, let's journey together and transforming what you know into who you really are. Mastering Life's Adventures begins now. Hi, I'm back. I'm back with Tim, and we had a delightful conversation in part one. This is going to be part two, and I would really suggest and highly recommend that you listen to part one as well. But what we're going to be talking about today is from teens to adults, I wish I had mindset on soul growth. Interesting, huh? So let's get into it, Tim. Tim, introduce yourself and let us talk about this.
All right. Well, my name is Tim McCarthy. I have 10 years experience in both public and private schools as a teacher, as well as administrator. I've also got over 30 years experience in the martial arts as a teacher of students of all ages, from as young as 3 to as old as, I believe we had a 90-year-old. Mm-hmm. So pretty broad range of experience in both Eastern and Western styles of education.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful how the martial arts has your background in education has tied in a nice way for you to have some thoughts about this whole notion that goes on with teens to adults as it relates to I wish I had mindset and how that impacts soul. Take it away.
Yeah, well, let's just talk about the martial arts for a moment. Mm-hmm. What I really liked about the martial arts more than teaching in a classroom was that we weren't limited to the academic or mental dimension. In the martial arts, we teach physically. The kids get in great shape, they get exercise, they get their yayas out after sitting and still in school for all 8 hours. Physically, mentally, we have a curriculum where they're supposed to memorize, they learn forms, patterns, self-defense techniques. Emotionally, I've seen tremendous growth in confidence, not only in children, but in adults, actually in myself. And spiritually, one of the most important lessons in martial arts is not learning how to punch somebody, but learning when to punch somebody and when not to punch somebody. Combining all those four aspects in the martial arts helped me feel that I was affecting lives more deeply than just in the classroom, but also helped my own personal development and understanding of what it takes to develop a whole balanced person.
Mm-hmm. It's as if as you were maybe teaching the martial arts and martial arts were helping to teach you about where my balance is. And I think this is what children and teens and adults are learning. Where am I out of balance? Where am I in balance with the flow in my life? And so that mental, emotional, physical dimensions to ourselves. And at the end, maybe, or the beginning, maybe before you start the practice of meditating or reflecting, is all allowing it to come together to have a greater sense of wholeness, I would think.
Absolutely. And there are just so many non-mental things. You know, in our society, we tend to emphasize the mental aspect, the logic, the reasoning, the understanding. And there's a lot of things that happen in the body that go beyond what you understand. And I, especially in the martial arts, I've seen a lot of teachers who weren't mentally developed. They couldn't quite explain logically what they were doing, but they had this innate emotional sense or physical sense of how to teach and what to teach. So yes, the four dimensions are different and should not be, one should not be necessarily judged by the other.
Yeah. And that quality that you sort of talked about innate, that innate quality is and also what I think about is the soul. There's an innate soul that exists within us that also is one to be balanced as well. and wanting to be able to have expression in different ways. And there are going to be unique things that we are drawn to, which is unique aspects of the soul. Just as there's no two snowflakes alike, there's no two souls that are alike. And I say the soul is the substance of your life. It is really what you're trying to cultivate and to bloom and help it to be a rose or a dandelion or any type of flower that's going to be your unique blend that you put out into the world. And so as teens and adults, we're kind of a little bit, sheltered or bound by this I wish I had mindset that is so inculcated into our worlds in terms of the social media and in terms of people's opinions and in terms of how we've been raised. Thoughts about that?
Well, let's just look at advertising and whether it's internet advertising, television advertising, magazine advertising for us old folks. The whole point of advertising is you are incomplete unless you buy this.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have your kids watching regular TV, and even if it's, you know, Sesame Street used to be on regular TV, but if they have commercials, they're probably commercials that tell you, you need to have this sugary breakfast cereal. And it just creates this, you're not good enough, you need something. So from an early age, and especially through the teen years, where we're trying to find our place in the world, where actually our brains are well developed enough to understand how the world is working around us, how other people are thinking. We've moved from just my own thoughts and cares of how I feel to how other people feel. And I care about how they feel. And so now if everybody's judging me because I have stinky underarms or, you know, whatever the society is telling me I should worry about, that's not a recipe for happiness. It's a recipe for good economics for that company, but bad social development for the individual.
Yeah, but we are so bombarded by the advertisement, so bombarded by comparison ourselves. Well, you want to look at this. You don't want to look at you. We're so bombarded by some of these things that it gets so socialized into us that it moves the soul off its path, because the soul is more directed towards how can I be my best self in whatever I do and not compare myself to other people. But that's such a foreign language to the outer self of the individual who's been so socialized in terms of social media to this. And I'm not dinging social media. It has its place. But when it's overly done, we have to realize from, like we were talking about our last episode, that at the age of zero, when the child's in the womb, or the baby's in the womb, to 7 years old, the child is having influences that is taking place. That hopefully it's the parents' influences that is taking place, but it's also what is put in before the child's eyes in terms of the TV or in terms of the internet and the things that are on the streaming and all this social media stuff now that takes place. So I really want us to talk more about the not good enough, this situation that I wish I had more, I want more, I need more, which is not really necessarily true.
No, absolutely. I mean, we all can grow. There's always future growth. I'm 70 years old. I still want to learn. I still want to grow. There's so much more to life that I want to experience before my time is done. Mm-hmm. But let me back up a little bit. I talk about four dimensions: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And it's easy to understand in the physical dimension, you can feed your body. You are what you eat. Your body becomes what you feed it. The same thing is true of the mental dimension. You're talking about the internet. What you put before your eyes, what you choose to look at, changes your brain. There's new science, not brand new, but recent years of neuroplasticity. Mm-hmm. Your brain changes according to habit and according to your input. So if you read scripture all day, it creates a certain brain set. If you watch porn all day, it creates a certain mind set. And so what you feed your mind affects what you think about in the future. Emotionally, the same thing. If you watch Fox News or MSNBC, and their whole purpose is to get you angry about the other guys, then you feed your anger. Okay? If you choose to watch the Hallmark Channel of love stories, then you feed your soul, your heart, on dreams of love. What you choose to put before you certainly affects not only your heart, but your mind. And spiritually, of course, it's said that you are the average of the five closest people to you. And so if you look at their incomes, you're probably right in the middle of the five closest people for income. But spiritually, the same. The five closest people to you will affect the decisions you make and the goals you set to develop spiritually. All of these things intertwine, and you have to try to balance them, but also not neglect the soul as we tend to do, because we live in a litigious society where lawyers have kept religion out of the schools. They try to keep it off of any place that it doesn't belong. The ACLU says you can't teach your religion, so therefore you shouldn't teach any religion. Mm. And so we tend to brush it off to the side, become secularists, and not even try to feed our soul.
Mm-hmm. Starvation.
Basically, yes.
And so then we get filled on junk food and think that's going to help the starvation, but the soul is starving at another level. The soul is starving for the love, the appreciation, the unseen things, the, like you were saying earlier, the reading about spiritual things, looking at and being inspired by even individuals who have an inspirational story to tell, that they tell about their own soul growth, their spiritual growth and evolution. It's as if the society that we're living in currently is trying to push us away from the true essence of who we really are, which is our spiritual nature, and which this society was and America was founded on, is a Judeo-Christian tradition. And so regardless of is Judeo-Christian or Buddhist or another type of religion or spirituality you want, that is a component that as teens to adults, we have to be aware of, that maybe the dimension that is missing and that needs to be garnered a little bit more, and moving away from the aspect of I just want, because that's what I see in front of me, that's what I want, because it's leading you to believe that you're incomplete. But in actuality, you're more complete than you could ever know if you're having a spiritual path and you're walking on a spiritual path. Thoughts
Absolutely.
About that?
Absolutely. And I talked about confidence a little bit earlier in the martial arts. There's a certain confidence you develop in knowing that you can defend yourself, that you're not afraid of the big guy or the aggressive bully, and you're just not afraid of him. And that's a certain confidence that could be based physically, that I know I can defend myself. But much more important for self-confidence, in my opinion, is knowing that you're a good person. Mm-hmm. That is a foundation, because tremendous fighters have no self-worth because they don't believe they're a good person. You know, possibly because they're a fighter because they like to hurt people. And that's just not a good basis for the soul. Knowing you're a good person is the foundation, in my opinion, of self-confidence, of feeling good about yourself. And this is developed in the preteen and teen years. But if you missed it, if you're listening to this as an adult and you feel that you're self-esteem or self-confidence is low, it can still be developed.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's the beautiful about living life. Each and every day is a new opportunity to live in a different way, to have different choices, be in a different area of the city or the town or whatever you may be. You have freedom to be able to do that, which I think is so vital to the awareness that just because how I was in the past means of who I need to be now. No, you can change the now too. And you can change your future by changing your now, is what you're talking about. I think that fundamental belief that you're a good person is so fundamental to the soul too. It's so fundamental because the soul has come from God and is on its evolution back to God. And it's learning how to be able to do that through passing certain tests and initiations that are unique to each soul and how they go about doing it. But the fundamental underneath that quality of a good person is that God loves you. God loves you and God wants the best for you. And he wants you to make right choices, but you have free will. So you can choose what you want to do. But God is always saying, we hope you'll choose the higher path in terms of moving onward and upward to the soul evolution and growth.
And every day presents new opportunities, new choices. And I'm a strong believer in habits. So if you have the habit of putting others before yourself, then when you're presented the choice, you make the right choice. Mm-hmm. How do you develop those habits? By making that choice several times. And the more you make the choice, the more it becomes ingrained in your habits, the more your neuroplasticity, your brain is predisposed to make that choice. So, as you say, what you were yesterday does not determine what you will be today or tomorrow. You have the choice, and it becomes easier once you start making those good habits.
Yes. And some of that is, and those good habits are formulated based upon what you said earlier. Where we put our attention to is where our experience is going to be, which I've said in a past podcast. And if we can begin to put our attention to the glory of God, the understanding that God exists and God is within me just as much as he's outside of myself and in every person around me. And then how can I keep my focus around that and know that God is my sufficiency, not this thing of the candy or the car or the house. That's not my sufficiency. That's not my first cause. That's the effect. My first cause is God is the anchor in my life. Christ is the anchor in my life. Buddha is the anchor in my life. Zoroastra is the anchor in my life. Whoever that key religious or spiritual component is the anchor in my life, to know that I am a good person and I walk the path of being better and better because I'm here on planet Earth to refine myself, to refine my abilities, so that I can also be able to give it back as service to God and helping God through these individuals that are around me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. One of the things I encountered in my studies of other religions was the five yogas from the Hindus. And basically it says there are five paths to enlightenment. All right, number one, hatha yoga, which is you purify the body through spiritual discipline. And the Indian traditions are full of the mystics who go into the woods and sit still for 3 months. And I've actually known through a friend somebody who did that, who sat still for 3 months in the woods and came back spiritually enlightened. That was his path. I don't think I'm going to do that. Okay. But through the body. Then there's the path of devotion, which is similar to what you talk about, the love of God. And it can be just a warm love. It could be God loves me. It could be an ecstatic love, like the whirling dervishes, where you work yourself up to this emotional frenzy, but it's understanding the soul through love. The third way is of knowledge. And this is more my path. I went to school. The teacher said, oh, you're so smart. So I wanted to be smarter. And so I studied, I reflected, I studied. And my path, haven't reached enlightenment, haven't reached the end yet, but my way of learning about my soul is through study and reflection. There's also the path of good works. The most notable example might be Mother Teresa, who spent her life giving and taking care of others. And then there's the spiritual life, those who spend every day, every minute of every day, thinking spiritually rather than physically, mentally, or emotionally. And so your way doesn't have to be my way. My way doesn't have to be the listener's way. There are at least five different ways to God, to enlightenment. And you'll have one that suits you better, your personality, your soul, but also strive. Just like in anything, I say there's four dimensions to being a person. Okay, you're a scientist, you're very mental. Why can't you be physically healthy? Why can't you be emotionally secure and have a happy relationship? Why can't you be spiritually fulfilled? Just because you emphasize the science, don't ignore the other three. Likewise, just because you are seeking God through devotion, you can still expand your knowledge. You can still do good works. You can still work through the body through sacrifice and live a spiritual life.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think all those five dimensions, we can all be. We may have an emphasis towards one or two, whatever it may be, but we're learning to be all five. And when you said that last part, I thought about selflessness, service, surrender, and sacrifice are the qualities that we're learning, which is the path of the Christ and the path of our spirituality that we're trying to be more attuned to, that there's certain things we may need to have to let go of. We sacrifice them because we know it's for the greater good, you know, for ourselves and for those that may be around us. There's certain ways we need to be selfless, just serve and just give of ourselves because it's a right thing to do that can be of help. So each of these helps us to be able to continue to grow. And that's one reason why we're here. We be your team, you know, and as a team, you're learning certain newer things about who you are and what's going on all the way up to adulthood and then to 100 years old. We're still evolving and growing, as you had said here in the previous podcast. You know, there's certain habits that you're learning and certain themes that are forming. And you have to look at those habits and those themes saying, are they the ones that I really want at this stage in my life? Or is it that they need to change or they need to shift in some way to help me to continue to spiritually grow and evolve my soul on its path to and its way back to Christ and Godhood that allows me to be the best person that I can be in the here and the now as we move into the future?
Absolutely true. If I may then kind of circle back to talking about the teen development, in the preteen years, you start to develop a morality of cooperation. And so you want to be a member of the group and you're concerned with the group good. And so you begin to learn selflessness and sacrifice your good for the good of the group. And if you haven't, if you're a listener and you haven't developed that yet, that is possibly your next step in spiritual evolution. That is the next thing for you to learn how to put the group in front of yourself, to care about others more than you care about your own benefit. That normally can be developed in the preteen years. Mm-hmm. And then if you are lucky as a teen, you progress beyond that to universal principles. Now, you mentioned both of those in what you said. I believe those are separate levels where the morality of cooperation and the good of the many outweighs the good of the individual, the do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Universal principle moves beyond that. Even in do unto others as you would have them do unto you is selfish because you're treating others the way you want to be treated and it's based on you. Universal principles are based on what's right and what's wrong. If you're at the 7-Eleven and you get an extra $5 bill for change, okay? You might keep it because you're going to get away with it. You might give it back because if you were the teller, you would want the person to give it back to you. Mm-hmm. That's that do unto others level of morality. Or you just might say, I'm sorry, you gave me too much, only because it's the right thing to do, not because of any consequences, not because of what you might get or anybody else might get, because it's right. And that's, in my opinion, according to Lawrence Kohlberg as well, an influential psychologist, a higher level of morality, a higher level of spiritual development.
Yeah, and that ties into universal principles, ties into this aspect. There are principles that exist in the universe and why we do what we do, and we can learn them. And also, or we can have innately a knowledge about it's the right thing to do. And it ties into the quality of surrender, that we surrender our will. Well, I want to keep the money, you know, to the higher will saying, but is it right to keep the money? I say, well, it's not right to keep the money. And therefore you give it back to the person. And so that's where the soul actually wishes you to be able to choose the right direction or the right thing to do, because it becomes more in attunement now with that soul growth and evolution. It allows the soul to say, okay, I'm learning truly from my outer self, the right and the wrong, and I'm willing to be disciplined to say, I'm going to do what's the right thing, because it allows my soul to flourish and allows me to feel stronger inside. And that's one of the qualities of what happens with confidence, is that when we start doing the right things at a soul level, the soul starts to get stronger and it starts to be more attuned, and it's now awakens, and it helps the outer self to say, you know, it comes to our intuition, it comes to different ways, and no, you want to go this direction. And you don't know why you need to go that direction, because your soul has said something more, can see something more, because it's tied into your spirituality, the spiritual essence of who you are. And so when you take that path, you realize, I'm so glad I did, because it allowed me to avoid A, B, and C, which was going to hinder me or hold me up in some way. And so this other path I took was smooth sailing, and that's great.
And focusing back on the teens, this is the time in most people's development when it happens. As I said, preteen, looking to other people and what's good for the group. If you can move to the universal principle, you're moving to an internal locus of control. So no, you're no longer looking to asking other people what they would do or what they think is right. You're looking to yourself. One of the things I've said in the past is children pray for a new bicycle. Adults pray for the wisdom to make the right choice. Different level of what you're looking for. And so developing this internal locus of control where I am the judge, not you, are the judge of my worth, of what I should do, and what my life should be. And so teens face this by nature. They rebel. They have to be programmed by nature to leave the home. I mean, why would anybody with any sense? My brother stayed at home. At 21, he owned an apartment complex, but he was still living at home because my mother cooked for him and did his laundry. And she finally said, okay, you're going to pay rent if you're going to live here. And so he finally moved out and moved on with his life. And now he's a multimillionaire and owns ungodly amounts of property. But regardless, that's what it took, that step, to move away from home. You have this impulse naturally to leave your family where it's comfortable and strike out on your own. And so part of that spiritually is to question what everybody else thinks. And hopefully you do that. You've been told by your parents what to do. You've been told by your teachers. You've been told by your minister or priest or rabbi what to believe. But you also question that to develop that internal locus of control so that you look within, hopefully within to your soul rather than within to your ego, to make those decisions.
Right. And that's the discernment that we can pray for. We can pray for discernment to help us. I call that a superpower, discernment, that allows you to be able to ask the question like you're saying, and then listen for the answer. And not just ask the question and go about doing what you want to do. No, ask the Lord to show it to you in people, in books, in things, or whatever. But God will show it to us what the answer is if we're willing to ask the question for discernment, to make the choice that is in alignment with our soul versus our ego.
And in the Catholic tradition, that's called a gift of the Holy Spirit. My wife has it. She has discernment. And it's funny, we'll sometimes listen to a conversation and then she'll say, can't you tell he's lying? No, but she can. She has that gift of discernment. And I guess it was given to her early. She had a rough life and had to survive on her own. So she learned to discern the truth from fall. I had a more blessed life where I tended to believe people. So that's why I depend on her for so much.
And that's the beauty too of a dynamic couple or a marriage, is that you're learning from each other and depending and relying upon each other. And you hope that as parents, or as, even as a single parent, that you do learn or ask for the gift of discernment, or ask for, or not ask, just say, God, show me. You're just going to say, show me, help me to see what I need to see, and help me to acknowledge it when I see it, because sometimes we may see something and we say, no, that's not right. Or we see it again. No, I don't think that's right.
And as we said last time, the lesson will be repeated until you learn it.
Yes, definitely. Any other comments as we're talking about this topic of from teens to adults? I wish I had mindset to a soul growth mindset.
Well, one of the things, this is my own personal theory, I call it Frankenstein envy. And it's on the Frankenstein monster, where they took the body of this guy and the mind of this guy and this arm and this leg and assembled this monstrous thing that was supposed to be the best of everyone. And it didn't quite turn out that way. And so, especially in teenagers, it's one of the teenage myths, or at least that's where I put it, where we look to other people for guidance. And especially a teenage girl will say, gosh, I wish I had Maria's hair. I wish I had Kenesha's complexion. Oh, Kathy has such a nice car. And Lee has such a loving family. I wish I had all those things. And you assemble them into this monstrous, perfect life that none of those other girls have, that you don't have, and it's depressing. And so that, in my opinion, is Frankenstein envy. You envy the best qualities of everyone else without even thinking about their worst qualities. And going back to the internet has exacerbated this, has made it really more and more intense, because Facebook or any other place is your highlight reel. You show your vacation to the Bahamas, you don't show the fight you had with your little brother. And so you only see other people's highlights, you don't see their lowlights, and you compare your life with all its foibles to their wonderful life on the internet, and you think, oh boy, I'm a loser. Or you compare yourself to Kim Kardashian, who is a beautiful woman, but she'll take 1,000 photographs and only publish one. And even that one would be put through a filter or work, and even she doesn't look as good as on the average day as her photos do. If I compare myself to that, how am I going to say, gee, I'm a wonderful person? The internet has emphasized, has blown out of proportion this Frankenstein envy of, I want that, I want that, I want that, I can't have it, I must be a loser. So what do? First thing you do is realize and teach your teenager what's going on. Everybody has strengths, everybody has weaknesses. If you compare your weaknesses to their strengths, you're not going to come out a winner. But maybe if you compare your strengths to their weaknesses, it'll have a little more balance. You may not have Maria's hair, but you have a better complexion. You have better math grades. Look at your own strengths. Don't be afraid to recount your strengths. One of the things my grandmaster does in martial arts class is called enthusiasm sparring, and he has the kids jump up and down with emotion and say, I'm strong, I'm intelligent, I'm a good kid. And that emotionally imprints on them that they are a good person, that they have strengths. And it's a tremendous, it looks kind of crazy, but it's a tremendous confidence building exercise. And so, yeah, talk to your teen. Talk to yourself and say, what are your strengths? Well, I'm good at math, but nobody cares about that. Yes, people care about that. Engineers make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. That's a pretty good thing to be. And so you recount your strengths and their weak. And when you think about your weaknesses, you can have a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. A growth mindset says, I can learn. I can improve. A fixed mindset says, that's just the cards I was dealt. I'm stuck with it. I'm not smart. I can't lose weight. All these negative thoughts that I can't. Yeah, you can. You may not be an Olympic gymnast and win the gold medal, but you can certainly ride a bike, do some yoga, take a Zumba class, and get more physically active. You don't have to be a couch potato. All right, you can have a growth mindset. Then, when you look at somebody, this is the key thing for teaching children, adolescents, but also yourself, if you haven't realized this yet, when you look at somebody who has more than you, you can choose to be jealous, negative, which leads to depression, or you can choose to be motivated and say, how can I have pretty hair like Maria? Should I use a different shampoo? Should I go to my hairstylist and get a better cut? What can I do to improve myself like the person that I admire? You can be either depressed, jealous, or motivated and have a direction for improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And it goes back to you're talking about the Frankenstein envy. I can be envious, or you can be able to say, okay, you know, what are my gifts? What are my talents? What do I have to offer? And how do I capitalize upon that? How do I make it best, the best that I can be? Because this is what God has given to me. Because also God wants us to strengthen ourselves in other ways, but not in an envious way, not in a jealous way, but it's more because it's the thing that's going to help me to be a better person, to cultivate that strength or whatever it may be, whether you're a teen or you're an adult. To be able to look at that, because sometimes I think when we get into the adulthood, at some stage we think, okay, we're done it all. That's it. Well, no, not really. You know, life continues to move on, and the soul's evolution and growth continues to move on too. And once you continue to grow in advance, regardless of what your age is, it doesn't really matter to the soul. The soul is, are you giving me certain experiences to allow me to continue to grow in my sense of my godhood? And in my sense of being motivated to continue on my path, that is kind of my adventure in life. So we see in life as an adventure, not as a necessarily always a destination, but as a process that allows us to continue to cultivate, grow, and advance.
Cute story. And one of the ways we learn best is through stories. That's why we love TV and movies and such, mm-hmm. and books. We learn best through stories. So Billy and his grandfather need to go to the store, and it's a snowy day and the store is up this long hill. And so Billy and grandpa takes him by the hand. And as they're walking down the road, Billy sees a cow and he runs across the field and he pets the cow and talks to the cow a little bit. Then he runs back to his grandpa and they keep going up the hill. And then he sees Sally sitting on her porch and he runs over and talks to Sally for a few minutes. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to the store with my grandpa. I love my grandpa. Blah, blah. And he runs back to his grandpa and then they go up the hill and they get to the store. And just as they get to the store, the grandfather turns around and says, now, Billy, take a look. Look at my footsteps. They went from our house straight to the store. I had a goal. I focused on it and I came to it. Look at you. You went over here, then you went over there, then you went over there. You lost focus. And he says, yeah, but Grandpa, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have petted the cow and I wouldn't have talked to Sally. I wouldn't have had so much fun. So I've been to a lot of motivational speakers who say, focus on your goal, focus on your goal, focus on. That's nice. That's a way to achieve your goal. At what price? Do you want to sacrifice all the other things in life? I say no. I say enjoy, focus on goals, set goals, but have some balance in your life. And from my point of view, the balance of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual balance. Mm. And life, as you were talking about earlier, as you get older, when we're young, everything is physical. You want to run and play. I love to play basketball. I love my martial arts skills. Now that I'm 70 years old, my martial arts skills aren't quite what they were. I've developed some arthritis. I have to not do things that I used to love, which leaves me more time in the mental, emotional, and spiritual dimension. My father in his 80s would say, oh, I pray every night. I'm cramming for my finals. He was preparing to move on, but feeding his soul. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's the way we're designed, that as we grow older, we have our physical years, our learning years. Then as that grows beyond, we start to sit back and look at our children and our grandchildren and start to have more emotional satisfaction. And hopefully at some point, even if it's at the end, have that spiritual searching and journey.
Yeah, that's a nice story, and that's not nice way you're putting it. I think with the soul and mind, I would put hope that in each of the stages of one's life, be it the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, or in your teens or in your 20s, or in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 70s, 80s, whatever it may be, that you're always willing to understand that the soul is on purpose and its guidance is through the Christ or the Godhood or the I Am Presence, the Atman, whatever you want to call that higher source, the Creator. Its goal is to reunite, with that higher sense that allows you to have that greater, more sense of completeness and wholeness and those four dimensions that you've been talking about. And I think this has been a great conversation, again, to be able to talk about this whole notion from teens to parents and how the I wish I had really gets us off the path and not into the right mindset. It does kind of put ourselves on the what I say on actually that story that you said with the Billy and the grandfather, you can be direct path or you can go off the path, which is fine actually. The soul doesn't mind the experience of going off the path, but you come back onto the path. You're learning something, growing from it, and sometimes maybe that's the path, that's your path, going off and on, going off and on. Or better yet, maybe your path is just not a linear line. It's, it has its ups and its downs, and it has its side path, and but it's all with the focus around how am I growing, how am I advancing, from teen to adulthood, and my soul awareness and my soul growth, and then also the balancing of those bodies and mental, emotional, and physical selves, with the totality of who I am. So I thank you for that discussion, and please let them know where they can reach you if the seekers wish to follow you.
Absolutely. I've written a book, Raising Four-Dimensional Children in a Two-Dimensional World. And it's available on Amazon. You type in Raising Four-Dimensional, that should be enough to get you there. If you go to my website, you'll learn more about me. There's a blog of lots of information and activities. One of the things in the book that I'm proud of is I have over 400 activities to help you advance your child from one level to the next. There are physical activities, mental activities, emotional and spiritual activities, especially in the teen years when spiritual awakening is so key. There are spiritual activities you can do with your child to help bring them up to the next level. That's all available at 4D-2D.com. D as in dimension, four dimension. So it's 4D-2D.com. And you can even get the adolescent chapter for under a dollar.
Wow, that's great. And I hope you really do visit Tim's site and also look into his book. Because I think we're in a world in which you need to be anchored more in these four Ds and the four dimensions that exist, and especially the spiritual awareness to help our children know that there's something more to life than just what meets the eye. Bye for now. Thank you for joining me for this episode on Mastering Life's Adventures, being your best self through soul evolution. If you have enjoyed what you've heard today, I would be delighted if you would share this episode with others, leave a thumbs up, and subscribe to my Mastering Life's Adventures podcast. Look forward to your joining the next episode. Please leave any comments or suggestions you might have below. Bye for now.